Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on my way to Amarillo. I can't seem to get my fill of that little West Texas town. I've got a sweet thing built right, Betty. Head to toe, she's mighty pretty, living in that West Texas town. Friday comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I've got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach that West Texas town. Plainview, I can't wait to get to you know who in that West Texas town. I drive through hell and half of Texas just to get to her. My breakfast waiting in that West Texas town. But it comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I've got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday Night Show, West Texas Pitmaster's Barbecue Show. We're live tonight. We're going to have some interesting guests tonight. We're going to have Pitmaker on, Victor, Pete, and George. They're going to be on joining with us. We're also going to have Lulu's Original Barbecue on. They're going to be on in just a little bit. Cody will be here probably about 7:30 or so. So I'd like to go ahead and give a shout-out to all of our sponsors. Number one, Daryl Mass, Barbecue Superstars. We wouldn't be doing it without him. And Oak Ridge Barbecue, some great rubs out there. You guys look them up on the internet. Had many walks with them this year, and they're a great bunch of sponsors. Meat Rake, hey, you got to rake your meat. They're the guys to get it. So give them guys a shout and find them on the internet also. Grow Grates, some awesome grilling products. If you're going to grill steaks, stuff like that, I mean, that's a great product to be using. Texas Web and Graphic out of Lubbock, Texas. They do all of our banners and business cards and all that. Great bunch of guys. You can find their link on our website. Big Ron's Rubs. Got some killer beef injections, stuff like that. It's also got some rubs out there, too, that are really kick-ass. And give him a shout-out. And AT's Barbecue, man, does some great sauces. He's a fellow competition guy, and he knows what it's about. Give him a shout. GOT Energy Services out of Midland, Texas, another one of our big sponsors, and I'd like to give them a shout-out tonight. And so with that, we've got some of the guys, looks like, from Pit Makers already calling in, so I guess we'll get the show started. And give me just a minute, we'll get them in. All right, 832-488-9754, you're live. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Pete from Pitmaker.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I think I've got George, too. Let me see if I can cue him in here real quick, and we'll
awesome.
Get this thing going. All right, hold on just a second. 832-488-9754.
Hey, Lance, this is George.
That's you, George?
Yes, it is.
All right, man. Well, we got two of y'all. Victor hadn't called in yet, but
thanks for having us on the show, Lance.
Do what now?
I said thanks for having us on the show.
Hey, anytime. You know, we competed a little bit against each other last year, and that's kind of kicked my butt last year. So we hadn't had the opportunity to have the spanking this year, but always enjoy you guys and the. You know, follow you guys on Facebook, stuff like that. And matter of fact, I seen you on the Destination Channel today. They ran another episode of y'all's show on Epic Pits.
Oh, great!
So, Yeah, it was on this afternoon, so you guys were on there, and I watched it again.
They're supposed to have the Diet Mountain Dew trailer that we created on the new premiere of Barbecue Pitmasters tonight.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Well, good deal.
Special guest star, Dale Earnhardt Jr., the official NASCAR driver for Diet Mountain Dew. And we don't really know in what capacity or how much footage the trailer is going to get, but it is supposed to make an appearance on the show. So,
good deal. Well, it looks like we got Victor here. Let me get him logged in, and we'll get this going, man. Hold on just a minute. You there, Victor?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you, man?
Can you hear me good?
Yes. We can hear you good.
Cool.
So, I guess I hadn't seen you in probably about a whole over a year since we were in Austin together and cooked. And the last ass whipping I had from you guys. So,
that was putting fans in Austin.
Yeah. I mean, man, that was a great day for you guys. I was proud for y'all. You know how it is. Any day that you can pull off something like that, it's a good day. So, so that was great. I hadn't seen you guys around much this year. I guess it's been kind of, y'all been competing much?
We're super busy, Lance. Created a new project and then giving the support to our customers. I don't know if George shared with you that our mentality now in Pitmaker is to build champions.
Yes, sir. Like I said, I know that you guys, like I said, I was watching one of y'all shows today. The Epic Tips was on today on the Destination Channel, and so it was on about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I was watching it again. And you guys just have some killer products, and like I said, of course I've seen them firsthand, and when TVs and stuff start coming popping up out of smokers and stuff, that's kind of an awesome sight. So
We take our tailgating really seriously, too. I mean, it seems like a lot of competition teams are going to do some hardcore tailgate parties, too. So those TV options really kick in that aspect.
Well, and that's kind of where we're wanting to do some stuff like that. Of course, we're right here where Texas Tech and stuff is. And Daryl Mass, we've kind of talked about that a little bit this year. And I'm kind of hoping to kind of get into that more of that end of it, down this way. Do some of that myself. That kind of stuff's fun. Always end up, enjoy cooking for friends and, family and all that end of it, and tailgating or whatever, whatever capacity you can do. I mean, anytime they give an excuse to cook, it's great.
That's right.
So.
A lot of cook-offs, in the fall also, you have, they're on a Saturday while you're waiting to go to awards ceremony or whatever, you can sometimes catch some of those college games on the TVs.
Yes. Well, and I plug in a lot of times. I've got, some of the apps on my phone and stuff, and so a lot of times I'll just plug it into the stereo, now so we can kind of listen to some ball and stuff, how we're cooking and stuff, and catch what we can. But,
awesome.
No, I mean, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Might actually get to come see you guys in February next year. You guys are going to have a Kansas City cook in Huntsville, I'm hearing.
A friend of ours, Terry Treffield, he was mentioning that he posted something on Facebook, and then I think the guys that's promoting it, he sent us an email to see if we can get in touch with all the judges that we know, because we host one class.
Right. So I'm kind of hoping that Stacey Laurier of Slump Donkeys has been kind of involved in it too. And I told him that we may be able to work something else. When we talk to Daryl Mass, we might be able to do like a Friday night live show on Barbecue Supercharged, stuff like that, and kind of, get it out there. And, if you guys get to come, stuff like that, maybe we can just kind of have a big party and we'll do some live broadcasting and stuff like that and get it going. I'd enjoy to come down there.
That's our plan too, man. We're planning to do
that. Great.
To bring KCBS to here to Houston. That's something that George, Pete, Julio, myself, have been working on Pitmaker. Try to bring the KCBS, host more cooking classes. Right now, we're working on getting a bigger facility just to host the cooking classes.
There you go.
Some of the certified judging classes. We've hosted one of them, and we had one scheduled for the last winter, but our master judge Mike Lake had to cancel on us. But we are looking forward to getting some more of that those certified judges in the area, so that we can try to have some more of those KCBS cook-offs here, because we know from experience a lot of our customers that move on and they'll qualify for some of the KCBS cooks up north, like the American Royal or Jack Daniels, you know, and they've never having done that style of cook-off before, not really knowing what to expect. You know, they get up there and they don't perform at their best. So it's nice to have those judging classes in place and get a few more of those type of cook-offs down here, so our local, you know, competition teams who are awesome can get up there and compete on even ground.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I mean, you're exactly right about that. And that's kind of why, you know, last year I did the Sam's Club Challenge was for that reason right there was that, you know, had never done any of that. You know, we do a lot of IBCA, a lot of Lone Star and stuff that end of it. And, you know, we didn't have any experience in Kansas
it's
City.
It's intimidating,
so.
Huh?
Yeah, and I mean, so it's like, okay, well, you know, you need to do some of that because just what you said, if you're going to move on to these bigger contests and stuff, you need to know a little bit about it. And so, you know, we went down there, and I was. I mean, you know, you guys showed up. You know, S&S Pit Crew were there. Roll Tide. I mean, they're just Hot Tide. They were in there. You know, there were just, I mean, a bunch of good teams. And, you know, Ronnie Wade.
Should we show up last minute?
I know you showed up last minute.
We show up like 4:55.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, you guys pulled in, and, you know, of course, y'all fed me a steak that night, and I mean, we had a good time. I enjoyed it, and, you know, but,
yeah, and
you know,
just
and,
like
and
Victor
like
said, you know, we're trying to build champions. That's what we have the mentality, you know. A lot of our customers, they come to us, and they kind of want that next edge, you know, we're providing it from an equipment standpoint, but, you know, a lot of us know that you also need some, you know, some insight into definitely the KCBS world if you've never done it before,
sure.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and like I said, I mean, it does. I mean, you know, I've done 3 or 4 this year, and, you know so much more about what we've done. But, you know, just what you said, I mean, it is. And I'd love to take a judging class because, you know, there's even a skill to, you know, when, you know, what tables to get your trays and all that end on it. I mean, there's some strategy on that end of it, too, that a lot of people don't realize. And, you know, so... You know, there's more to that, and then I think even in the judging class, stuff like that, you learn some intel. I mean, they're not going to come out and tell you that, I don't think, but, you know, you'll learn more about how the scoring system works and how they're, you know, trays may be placed and where they're going into different tables and stuff like that, and you learn. You know, I've done some of that in Lone Star and stuff like that, and just go in and watch them go through the process. You learn a lot just by that. And, you know, if you're going to be in that upper echelon of competition now, because it's getting more and more competitive. I mean, you know, there's so much more information on the internet. There's so much more of it. I mean, the degree of competition is just skyrocketed in the last couple of years. And so you got to be on the top of your game all the time. And you know, number one, you got to have good equipment. I mean, that's like, you know, it's no different. You're hunting or fishing or whatever. I mean. You know, the better your equipment are, I mean, that's just one less thing that you've got to have to deal with.
The more consistent your cooks are going to be. You know, and that's one of our main goals as equipment designers is to build that into our equipment where, you know, your cook can expect a consistent temperature hold, a consistent cooking characteristics every time, and then he can focus more on the techniques and flavor profile and timing and all that good stuff.
Sure. No, I mean, you're exactly right about that, you know. You know, I have a homemade pit that I built, and, you know, it did all right, you know, and that's what I used last year. And, you know, I fought a lot of that last year. And, of course, I've tweaked that a little bit with, you know, gurus and stuff like that, and it has made me more consistent on that end of it. But, you know, like I said, I mean, you guys get to y'all's level with the equipment stuff you guys have, and, I mean, it's even, you know, even better. I mean, I watched you guys cook, and, I mean, as far as, you know, messing with equipment, I mean, y'all had very minimal time messing with fires and stuff like that last year compared to some of us other guys that, you know, were staying up all night, you know, watching fire all night. So, yeah. So.
Definitely
it's
easier to cool
them. You can drink beer. You know, I guess that's the only thing about it is we can say we can drink beer all night and you guys, y'all go to sleep. So, but no, you guys have an awesome product. Like I said, I mean, you know, I was just amazed last year when I was looking at y'all's pits and stuff. The detail and the craftsmanship and stuff that you guys had in them, I mean, they're just, just absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. And, of course, you know, Burnt Beans, old Ernest, you know, I think he got a vault from you guys, didn't he? And,
he's been kicking butt with it.
You know. Oh, absolutely. I mean, just awesome looking stuff. And, you know, you just can't beat it. And
a lot of people over this weekend, I don't know if you keep up with the posters and stuff like that. We have customers like Paul Mexican, Paul Martinez, that he got a recent grand champion. He's been getting grand champion, recent grand champion, like three cookouts in a row.
Yeah, I like that.
And then we have Orange. Yeah, you see Orange Maple walking with the first place chicken.
Right. Yeah, he's been hot here lately. He's been doing real well. You know, I think he's kind of got it toned in, and you know how it is. I mean, you kind of get things figured out. You learn your pits. I mean, that's with any pit. But you kind of learn things, and you kind of get your player profiles and all that down. You start hitting. I mean, you know, it's a hell of a ride. So,
well, we all
Gary Howard, the owner of the Smoke Ring, also got the reserve grand champion on his vault this weekend.
Now he's in California now. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm trying to think where he competed. Was he grand or reserve?
Reserve.
It was reserve.
Reserve. Okay. That's what I was thinking. So I'd seen his post earlier. I've been kind of in and out all weekend. I got stuck working all weekend, so I didn't have much time to kind of look over everything like I normally do and kind of see where everybody's at and what they're doing. You know, they had a big contest over in Artesia, New Mexico this weekend. And, you know, a bunch of them were over there cooking. And I wanted to so bad be there. It was a Kansas City cook, but just had too much other stuff going on, so I had to sit on the sidelines, and that about kills me.
The cook-off? Was it the Victoria area, the Who's Who this weekend?
Yeah.
Yes. I was trying to think who all was in on that one, too.
There's some serious hitters down there, I believe.
Yes. You know, Ernest and several posted that, you know, it was kind of a who's who of barbecue this weekend. Matter of fact, Craig Sherry and some of them guys were down there. And I think,
Howard with Orange Maple got first place chicken on one of our balls on that.
On these balls, is it more smoking or is it more grilling?
It's definitely smoking, Lance.
Okay.
The vault is a an indirect reverse flow vertical fully insulated smoker.
Okay.
So the heat and smoke are ducted from the firebox to the top of the cooking chamber. There it's released. It has to force its way down through every cooking grate before exiting near the bottom. And in between that is this, you know, stainless steel welded in place drip pan / water pan that you can use it as a water cooker if you want or add some moisture. And it really creates this trap for that moisture and that smoke in there with your meat.
Okay.
You can imagine it.
Well, and that's the thing that I see when I go down south, and, you know, it's been kind of one of the mysteries, is I smoke chicken, too. And, you know, up in my part of the world, that does real well. But I seem to get south by 20, and, you know, everything changes. And I've been smoking chicken down that way and don't do very well. And then I've had a lot of guys tell me that they're grilling them down that way. And so, you know, that's what I was kind of curious about. Let's say you guys do some Gulf Coast cooks too, isn't that correct?
Quite a bit.
Okay, so y'all deal with the half chicken.
Yes.
Okay. So with your vault, how long is your process in the cooking process on that vault, if you don't mind saying?
For a whole half chicken?
I mean, is it
about an hour, right, Vic?
Okay,
so
you're cooking pretty
hot. Depends how big is your chicken is to start.
Correct.
Depends what temperature you got in the vault.
Well, as I say, if you're doing it in an hour, you're running pretty hot, I would think.
I mean,
I'll run 275. How hot?
250, 275. And average, you know, it depends. Yeah, it depends how big the cook-off is. If it's 100 teams plus, you want to go with a bigger chicken so that way they don't dry out. But if it's going to be like 50 and below, you're going to go like four pounds chickens.
Well, see, I generally run in the 4 pound chicken range, and
okay.
You know, I'm generally on my pit. Being indirect, I mean, to hit, you know, the 160 mark, you know, quote unquote, you know, I'm about a 3 hour cook, 3 to 3.5, you know, depending on weather, to hit that temp, and so that amazes me that you guys are hitting that temp in an hour. Theoretically, the same temperature.
That's one of the functions of the vault, Lance.
Apparently so.
There's, because of the way it's constructed, there's not a lot of temperature fluctuation. I mean, once it's dialed in, it's there. You know, so you're not losing anything from gusting wind or anything blowing into, you know, a little crack in your pipe pit door or something like that. The other thing is, it has some amazing recovery time. You know, sometimes you open your pit to do a little basting or to pull another meat in or out, and your pipe pit or whatnot might drop from that 250, 275 down to a 150, and then take 10 minutes plus to recover, depending on how cold it is outside.
Right.
The vault will do it in 5 because of how insulated it is. So you start taking about 3 or 4 or 5 times you're in and out of your pit, you don't shade off 20 or 30 minutes of recovery time on your cook.
Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, because I cook everything on the same cooker, so I am in and out. And, you know, that is part of the process, you know, in my time calculation is that, you know, there's other things going on. I mean, you're dealing with ribs or, you know, brisket,
sure.
Or if you're doing canned spit, you got, you know, busts and stuff like that you're dealing with. And okay. And, you know, and that's the deal.
Especially on a cold day, that recovery time really, really becomes a factor.
Sure. I can see that.
Well,
you know, and I'm, go ahead.
The chicken, the way the Georgia was, is coming to you, the barbecue pit, you know, all the heat is trapped. And then you have 4 different walls, you know, in the dry heat coming from the top. The heat is bouncing through from the metal back to the chicken, so you're cooking in 4 different directions. That's why you're able to cook the chicken faster and then be juicier at the same time.
Okay. Well, and like I said, I mean, you know, and that's still, I mean, you know, if I was cooking on a separate cooker and you know, of course, like I said, you know, a vault or something like that, too, I mean, that would change things. And, you know, well, we take all that, you know, I run spreadsheets, stuff like that, but, you know, everything's calculated off of everything else that's going on. I mean, because, you know, I have certain times I spritz, I have certain times that, you know, you're wrapping ribs or any of that kind of stuff. And you're right. I mean, you lose that recovery or... You know, every time you open it, you do lose some. And so, you know, that's all calculated into, you know, the time that we cook and stuff. But, you know, I didn't think it was quite that drastic, you know, because, I mean, you know, theoretically, I mean, I'm you're telling me I'm losing like 2 hours.
You know, if you're used to it and you're already compensating for it, you know, it's not a big deal.
Right.
But then you jump into a different pit where that becomes minimal or that minimized quite a bit, then you'll notice a difference for sure.
Sure. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, and like I said, I do a little bit of grilling too, and, you know, I'll do about a 45 minute to an hour grill, you know, it, you know, probably 350. And, you know, to kind of hit that temp. And, you know, of course, then, you know, you go to Thailand, stuff like that, and you're doing Kansas City stuff, that's a whole different thing. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that really intrigued me when, you know, like I said, when we were down in Austin, was that, you know, going through that process like that, and, you know, and just kind of watching everybody else, you know, on that end of it. And, you know, seeing, you know, what everybody else is doing, you know, it does. I mean, of course, you know, we had, you know, a full scale down there. I mean, you know, there was you guys. I mean, we had Jambos down there. I believe Samarno's. And, you know, just a plethora of different cookers and stuff and different styles of what catch, you know. Matter of fact, we even play a couple of gators there. And, you know, out of watching everybody, you know, you guys were... Probably you guys and some of the Chambles, I think, worked the least out of having to deal with a lot of stuff, you know, with having to mess with things. You know, and I mean, you know, I've got to say something. I mean, you know, since I went to a guru online, and like I said, I mean, mine's not insulated or anything like that, it made a 9-day difference. And so, you know, I see some of these guys that have rigs like y'all that, you know, they might get 6 hours of sleep at night, you know. And, you know, I'm counting myself fortunate this year if I get 3-4 hours of sleep. I feel good. So
we used to be like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's how you start out. I mean, you know, everybody has budgets and stuff like that, and you know, I'd love to have, you know, that end of it. But, I mean, you know, it takes some time, it takes some work, and you know, you get better as you go, and you know, then you can kind of move up in that, you know, so, you know, I'm still relatively a young team on that end of it, so, you know, I still have some time to pay, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but no, I really have. I've really enjoyed y'all's trailers and all the stuff that you guys do to them, I mean, just, you know, first-rate product. And, you know, I was glad you guys come on tonight. And we talked about some of that stuff and get it out there because, I mean, you guys are doing an awesome job. And, you know, so. But is there any
thank you very much, Lance.
You
know, we worked really hard at it. Well, you mentioned
now?
Seeing us on Epic, the Epic Barbecue. I said thank you very much for that compliment, man. We work really hard at it.
Well, you do.
You mentioned seeing us on the Epic rerun today. They're also doing the, you know, we mentioned the Diet Mountain Dew custom barbecue trailer. It should make an appearance on the premiere of Barbecue Pitmasters tonight. They're also doing a rerun that's at about 8 p.m. Central, directly afterward at 9 p.m. Central. On the Travel Channel is another show that we premiered on the national TV. It's called Grills Gone Wilder. So it'll feature two more of our custom trailers that you can check out, or let the listeners know that they can check out tonight as well, back to back.
Okay. Well, that'll be great. I'll put the DVR in the record note there. And y'all had another one. I think it wasn't too long after we did the Austin Cook. Y'all had a was Gavin?
Chef Garvin on the channel.
Y'all had a really good show on that too. So, and then you guys went up to what was it? Y'all advanced last year to what was it? St. Charles and cooked.
Yeah, and we had to split the cooking team because we have a lot of stuff going on. So you know, only it was Julio and Pete. They went there, and then the drive last minute, we had to call in a favor with another friend and to go and help us out because George, you know, wear a lot of different hats in the company, and then I had to be acting with customers' phone calls. So the cooking team went halfway, and then, you know, it was a disaster.
Well. Yeah,
logistics,
I mean, you know, and it does. You get scattered. I mean, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, you know, You know, and I have that some weekends, you know, just, you know, in my little old world, you know, that, you know, no one can go. You're trying to do cook-offs stuff like that. I mean, it'll run you into the dirt, you know, much less trying to run business or anything like that, you know. So, yeah. Well, if you ever need a, you know, a grunt, you know, just give me a holler. I'll try to come learn something.
Where are you based out of, Lance?
We're actually between Lubbock and Amarillo, Texas. We're in Plainview.
Ooh, that's up there.
Yes, sir, it is. Well, that's why you don't see me down there where you guys are at very often. It's a long haul for us. I mean, you know, even Austin, you know, that's an 8-hour trip.
Texas is a big state.
Yes, sir. And so.
And you're at one end of it, we're at the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and it's kind of like we did the Sand Flip Challenge this year. We did the one in Albuquerque. And then we did well enough, we advanced. Well, the next one was in Las Vegas, Nevada, kind of like y'all deal with St. Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a hell of a haul. And, you know, it was like 1,000 miles each direction for us. But, you know, it's one of those deals, you may only get one time to do something like that, so you go cook. And,
that's right. That's one of our main goals for getting trying to get some of our customers, some of that KCBS experience, and some of our team, you know, our Texas boys down here, some of that experience, so they can go up there and do well, because they're not going to make that long haul unless it's one of those big world-class cook-offs like the Royal or the Jack Daniels. And, you know, so it's a shame for them to get up there and not have that experience to just do well when we all know we got the best cookers here in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and that's kind of a funny deal. I mean, just what you said right there. I like there were four of us from Texas, I mean, including Trigg, you know, that went to Vegas. And, I mean, you know, of course, you had Big Papa Smokers. I mean, you know, you just had, mm-hmm. I mean, you had a hell of a lineup. IAB 30, out of Phoenix, they were there. And so, I mean, it was a tough group of guys. And, you know, and I debated about, the, you know, just even going up there and trying to cook with them guys because, you know, hell, I mean, you're a whole other category. And we went ahead and we done it. And, you know, we took a fourth and pork up there. And I think Trigg, he had a sixth or seventh in chicken. And Big Pop Smokers, they got a sixth or seventh. Both of them were in chicken. And that was only two walks that they had. And, you know, I said, you know, we took a fourth up there and, you know, brought back a little trophy, it was worth the trip, you know, to go up there and cook with those kind of guys, and to hang out with that caliber of teams, and you know, actually, you know, do something there, and you know, be able to walk away and say, you know, hell, you know, I'm glad I come. But it's daunting on some of that stuff to go up there and cook with them guys like that, and. You know, like I said, it was even with you guys last year. I mean, when I pulled into Austin, I was, to be honest with you, I was kind of scared shitless. That was my first. That was my first ever Kansas City cook, and I thought, oh hell.
The first one, right? Man. It's a different world.
I screwed up. Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, we're in trouble. And I think we had like a seventh place trip, and I about shit that we were in the top 10 in something, you know. Overall, wasn't that great, but, you know, just to get one top 10 call in a contest like that, with that caliber of teams, you know, hell, it makes it all worth it. And, you know, and then, you know, like I said, I mean, hell, you know, I'm one of the few people that can say that I ate one of your steaks, you know, the night before y'all won the contest.
That's
so
awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, oh, hell, that's what it's all about, and it's a lot of fun, but, you know, it's a business to you guys, and I mean, and I think probably if I'm gonna step out here, but it was probably something that, you know, if you guys weren't competing in that industry, you may not ever been doing what you're doing, and, you know, it's something you're very passionate about, and, you know, how did you get into this?
Destiny.
Right? It's more destiny, but you know, getting involved, you know, first starting out, either because of happenstance or just, you know, getting involved in the metal fabrication. Once we got involved in the barbecue world, you know, that passion and that that dedication really comes out, because we do love, you know, what we do. And like you mentioned, you know, it's like a brotherhood. You go to these cook-offs, some of these big cook-offs, you know, especially, and you haven't seen a lot of friends in you know, a year or half a year, and you get to catch up on old times, and then, you know, talk, just great camaraderie, seeing customers and whatnot. That kind of makes it all come together, makes it worthwhile. And then, you know, trying to build constantly a better product for those guys to compete with. You know, that hopefully you can definitely see that passion there.
Well, and that's it, you know. I have a chat room open, and I've had a question tonight. You guys can kind of elaborate on this a little bit. About the, let me go back up here. They've been kind of busy in here. Lost my spot. They were asking about charcoal, and let's see where to go. Do y'all use like a charcoal maze, or do you just use a pan, just put your charcoal stuff in it, or is it kind of a maze? Like, you know, I've seen some of them that, you know, kind of have the little dividers and stuff they put in there. I'll say, from what I've seen, I don't think y'all use any maze type stuff, do you?
We build an elongated trail. We have a large fire grate in the vault in the safe, and we're able to build kind of a trail, usually an L-shaped or U-shaped pile.
Okay.
That we light about 10 or 15% of initially to start the burn of the pit. And then from there, we put small logs or a couple fist-sized chunks of wood in the beginning and then later on in that pile. That's typically how it's done.
Okay. So you do use some sort of a maze type situation then. Okay. Well, that's good. Like I said, we've got a few people over in the chat room tonight, and so they're kind of chatting. As a matter of fact, I think Lulu's over there. They're kind of chatting it up. And
okay, I see it now. Yeah,
yeah, if you scroll down, there's a little chat room going on. And so
I was on a different. I was on the Facebook page listening.
So yeah, you know, and that's kind of us too. Sometimes, I mean, we, you know, I get into some of this stuff, and you know, I'm trying to switch that. I mean, your shit's between Facebook and the chat room and the blog radio part of it, because you know, you can see all the phone numbers with people calling in and stuff. And sometimes, I mean, you can get overwhelmed with everything going on this. On this computer sometimes, so.
Yeah.
I had one last weekend that we were on the road still. We'd gone up to the mountains, and I was about 70 miles from home when it was time for the show, you know, so I'm plugging in my hotspot and trying to fire computers and tablets, trying to get something to work, and I get everything kind of logged on, and I have guys from Pitmaster Depot on out of Florida. And we get about halfway through a conversation, and we go through a dead spot, and I get disconnected. And I was like, oh, hell. And it took me a few minutes to get back on there, and I thought, hell, everybody will be gone. This is a wreck. And I got back on there, and the guys from Jay and them were still there, Jay and Zach. And I was like, what did I miss? And they're like, oh, we just took a break. And I was like, so I get the dead silence for, you know, about 5 or 6 minutes. And I was like, well, thanks, boys. So it's kind of entertaining sometimes, you know, getting involved in this kind of thing and doing this stuff. But you know, my big deal is, and this is something that I'm kind of wanting to go to, is that, you know, just what you said, you know, you said Texas has the best cooks, and I believe that's correct. But you know, with all the stuff that we have in Texas and all the cookers and stuff that we have in Texas, Texas is the least talked about state of cookers. I mean,
yep.
You don't hear much about Texas as far as cooking. You know, everybody says, well, you know, you know, Texas is nothing but brisket, you know. I guess that's what the one thing we are known from. And then, you know, Aaron Franklin, you know, he kind of put a little bit of it out there. But, you know, for the most part, we don't get a lot of exposure in Texas. And so when Daryl Mass kind of, you know, come to me about this, was to kind of showcase Texas a little bit and, you know, get this out there. And, you know.
Why do you think that is?
Why I think what is?
Why do you think that despite having a very large barbecue culture and history and you know, great food and we're not getting a lot of that exposure in the media?
Well, you know, you want my biggest thing is, and I think it's a shame, and it's starting to come around a little bit, is it the sanctioning bodies and stuff that we have, a lot of other people don't recognize it. And, you know,
they're very split apart, you know, in terms of this, from the state standpoint, geographical standpoint, and, you know, also because there's the split, they're not as economically as powerful as, say, the KCBS or you know, even
yep.
you know, which is the biggest sanctioning body in the world.
Right. Well, and then you go there. You know, IBCA is probably second in the number of events that's done a year behind Kansas City. And, you know, one of the things, and of course, Waldo and I've talked a little bit about it, and IBCA is kind of going in the direction that they're wanting to kind of buck up and go in there and get some corporate sponsors and to, you know, put it out there a little bit more and build it. It's going to take some time to do. But, you know, if we can get something like that going and, you know, start bringing that into Texas, I mean, we could have a hell of a barbecue venue in Texas. I mean, you know, and that's something, you know, since I've been doing this radio stuff, you know, that's what everybody talks about. Like, you know, how do you guys have so many of these contests that have 65 or 100-plus teams competing every weekend? Well, that's how many of us are out here doing it. It's just that people don't know it until they hear about it. And, you know, just think about that. I mean, Amarillo was a perfect example. Last year we had 84 teams. Got a little bit more information out this year. They had 105 teams there this year. You know, and it's up in the panhandle. It's kind of out of the way for everybody. But, I mean, you know, Ronnie Wade showed up. I mean, all the way up there to Cook. So, you know, I think we can do those things. I mean, the deal in Huntsville next year with the Kansas City deal, I think it's a great thing. And, you know, Midland, Texas had a Kansas City Cook this year, had 60 teams first year. Artesia this year, they had 70 teams their second year in eastern New Mexico. So, you know, there's no reason that we can't do it. We just got to get it out there
our sanctioning bodies could all combine, Lance. I wish that Lone Star and IBCA and Texas Gulf Coast could kind of work it all out and make some kind of big, you know, combine and put all their economic strength, their marketing strength, and all that together.
Happen.
You know, I think it would have an association that would rival the KCBS for sure.
Well, and I think that, you know, not so much Gulf Coast, but, you know, well, I mean, you look at Lone Star this year, and, I mean, man, I cook with a bunch of them guys, and, I mean, it's a great organization, but, I mean, they had some problems last year, and, I mean, you can kind of see how it hurt them because they don't have near the contest stuff this year. You know, and it's gone into Gulf Coast, Central Texas, and IBCA has picked up those areas. And, you know, so we may be onto something like that, you know, going that direction. You know, the one thing that I do see is that if we do that, you know, the other thing we need to do is we probably ought to start cooking pork. So we're on a little bit more even playing field with the Kansas City end of it.
Yeah, definitely. And Texas Gulf Coast has had a few, like they do a pork category entry for their invitational and a few other contests. they're kind of leaving that up to the individual contest promoters or organizers. But I do believe that using that playing ground out and to be recognized, because, you know, pork is a very much a northern meat, the pork butts, and it's a great cut of meat. You know, if we just get into some practicing and using it, I'm sure it'll be a lot more popular down here.
Sure.
It's actually cheaper down here than a brisket nowadays, I think.
Yeah, that ain't no kidding. Well, but, you know, and that thing, you know, it's funny because just what you said, I mean, we do a lot of these open categories or cook's choice stuff like that. And, you know, this year, you know, me doing Kansas City stuff, as much as I've done this year, pork has been where, you know, I've had three top 10 walks, which is kind of funny out of a guy from Texas, especially in West Texas, cooking pork. But, you know, that's what I've been cooking in open categories too. And even that, going up against steak and things like that, it has done well. So, you know, I kind of think it would do well, and I think that everybody would kind of like to cook it. We just get it going, you know. And, you know, like I said, but it's a little bit more on even playing field. You know, of course, for that matter, too, you know, Cass City could go to half chicken, and I'd like that a hell of a lot better than trying to cook thighs and all the other crap that they do, because to me, that's hard. I'd much rather cook a half chicken. So, but yeah, I mean, those are the things, and I think, you know, as we get a little bit bigger, we're starting to get a little bit more awareness out there, you know, and, you know, they're starting to put us a little bit more in the spotlight. I mean,
right.
Yeah, well, you got that.
You know,
and
the Barbecue
I mean?
Pit Masters, they did that little, they've done a couple of different shows here in Texas, but again, they're still cooking the KCBS format. With,
absolutely.
You know, with the garnishes and whatnot. It's just about trying to find a place where all those, where the individual sanctioning bodies here in Texas can kind of come together and, you know, again, try to create that more with that awareness, that marketing that the KCBS has, and they're benefiting from it, and their cooks are benefiting
sure.
from it.
Well, no, I mean, that's exactly right. And I mean, you know, what we've had in Texas has been more of a restaurant style cook-off. I mean, we really hadn't had a true full blown out Texas style comp on the air. You know, for them to see that end of it. I mean, you know, I think that would show a lot right there, you know. You know, not to discredit any of the cooks and stuff that we've had, but, I mean, it's more of a, well, I mean, just like, you know, Ernest got into. I mean, you know, they weren't cooking on an even playing field. You know, and
yep.
so what are you doing? You know, I mean, those two guys really didn't compete, so everybody didn't understand that. I mean, you know, it's a big chunk of brisket and stuff like that in there. It's kind of a different deal. And, you know, so, I don't know. I mean, that needs to be showcased a little bit different, I think. You know, and I understand that they've got to try to make it fair for everybody to be involved. And, you know, it looks like this year that the pitmasters are traveling a heck of a lot further, I mean, to compete in it. You know, it's not just like a local thing. It's kind of like RSM last year. You know, they were all kind of, you know, within the area. I mean, a lot of these guys are traveling all the way across the country to compete in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Quite a ways lately.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one weekend they were in the Carolinas or somewhere in there, and I mean they had a team come all the way from San Francisco. I mean, that's a long damn haul. and that's from a West Texas boy going to Vegas. That's a long damn haul.
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
like for you guys going to St. Charles. That's a long damn ways.
We drove all the way to Las Vegas, too.
For the World Food Championships.
Well, that's right. I forgot about that. How did y'all do that last year? That was last year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did y'all think of that?
Great marketing.
Yeah, great marketing from their standpoint. Got us out there to do it, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I understand that. know. I said, we've all kind of taken them on the chin.
it was a great experience, great event, but the barbecue portion of the cook-off, and I think Victor will back me up on this, the barbecue portion of that cook-off, because, you know, it wasn't just food. They were doing the best burger, the best steak, the best, dessert or whatever else they had.
It's like 7 categories, isn't it?
Right. You know, the barbecue was kind of like the stepchild, man. It was just shoved in the back of a hotel parking lot, you know, because I guess that's the only place they had the room for it. So it wasn't quite like on the main drag, you know, right in the media eye. And then it's a long-ass cook, so it's not as dramatic as these executive chefs going at it in 1 hour doing this gourmet sandwich or whatnot, you know, in terms of media catching it. So it kind of got the backseat in the contest, I think.
Ah, and it's uneven. It's not fair the way they compete against the chili, you know, against barbecue when you're cooking 4 different meats. And I think the way they did it to Butcher, to me, he was the champion of everything. But, again, the presentation, you know, you're competing against chefs that do a spectacular presentation. And we know Butcher is really good competitor, top-notch champion. And we were disappointed in what they were doing, the judging too. But we're going back.
Yeah, we are going back this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go. I mean, yeah, and that's right. I mean, you know, it is. I mean, you get in those situations, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, on a lot lesser scale, but, you know, it's kind of like a Lone Star event or an IBTA event where they don't have enough judges, and they come out and they start pulling team members, you know, to go in and judge. And, you know, I've gotten to the point when that happens, I kind of go into depression mode because, you know, if your team members know how you cook or what you cook or player profile, stuff like that, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's biased. And, you know, that's a hard thing to deal with. And because you know what's fixing to happen. I mean, sometimes it don't work out, but a lot of times, I mean, you know, and especially for the local people, it's usually going to kind of hit. And you're sitting there going, damn, you know, that good product, we did good, and you don't do anything. And, you know, and then that's part of the competition too, but, you know, you want, you know, that to be completely separated. And, you know, that's, yeah, those are things are tough. But, you know, it's kind of like Butcher this year, he's kind of, you know, he's been to several cook-offs. He's been to several cook-offs up in West Texas, and, I mean, he hadn't been hitting like he was last year, so I don't know what's going on there. I don't know, you know, just, you know, player profiles have changed or, you know, he's been off. Of course, he did win the Pitmaster deal. I mean, he was on there. And, you know, I guess everybody can have a bad day, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, well, anyways, well, I'll tell you what, if y'all don't mind holding on for a minute, we may drag Cody into here. I think he's got maybe some information on this Pitmasters and stuff this year. I think they traveled over and
I've been chatting with him on while we're talking right here.
Yeah, I was gonna say I seen y'all over there chatting a little bit, and yeah, you guys were chatting so dang fast I can't keep up with it. So. I went back to the other screen. I think he called in here just a second ago. So let me get him on here, and we'll keep this going. Hold on just a minute, guys. 573-683, you're live. Is this Cody?
What the hell's going on, boys?
How are you doing,
man? How's it going, man?
I'm pretty good. How y'all doing down there?
Hot.
I talk too fast for y'all.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I talk too fast.
I've been
spending
too much time on the internet.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the phone, so. Got to talk fast. To make money, you got to talk fast.
Talk fast, text fast, all that other stuff nowadays, huh?
That's right. You got to keep up with it all, be able to multitask.
So, man, you've been kind of quiet here lately, but I mean, guys started showing up. I know there's been some changes, and So are you guys cooking for anybody, or are you just making cookers, or what's your deal now?
I'm making cookers. I got a buddy that makes cookers. I sell them for him, and then I'm fixing to open a small restaurant where I live at. So I'm just kind of on the back burner, just kind of hanging out, kind of being silent, you know, kind of like the dog in the corner. Ain't nobody really paying much attention to. Just kind of then come out to the fight and see what happens. So just kind of been laying low. You know, do what?
Yeah. Where are you based out of?
Southeast Missouri.
Okay.
Hey, Tony actually had the Sunday night show back, I guess probably been, what, 6 months, 4 months?
Yeah, it's been about that long.
And, you know, he was kind of the man on Barbecue Two Stars. Yeah, he had a hell of a damn radio show. And so he's been kind of quiet here lately. And I know that you did do the Pitmaster. I don't know if you can talk about that yet or not, or...
Yeah, it'll air July 7th. So not this week, but next week it'll actually come on.
Awesome. Congrats, man. Congrats.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, it was a big time getting on there for us. You know, we've only been cooking for 3 years. So, you know, to be able to get out in the spotlight and make such a big headway in 2012, to come into 2013 and, you know, put our name way out there where people know us all over the world is, you know, from a guy that, from a population of 3,700 people, you know, it just don't happen every day that, you know, people know you all over the world. So, you know, and that's what you're talking about. I've kind of been out of the spotlight. I was in the spotlight for so long and so much media and so many people and a lot of stuff going on. I just kind of want to take a back seat and please get married on the 4th and kind of be with her and just trying to live life a little bit instead of, yeah, 4th of July.
Oh, wow, man. Congrats, man. Happy Independence Day.
I appreciate
that.
Happy Independence Day. Sorry.
Yeah, Independence Day. Well, that's actually how we met. You know, I was cooking barbecue on the 4th uptown in the parking lot, and I hadn't seen her about 10 years and saw her across the parking lot, and I just knew right there I was going to be with her, and we ain't never looked back since. So.
Awesome. I think I just added you as a friend. If I'm not looking at her on your page, she's beautiful, man. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you. She is very pretty.
Yes. Well, I think you must have logged in underneath Barbecue Tube Star too, because I think you kicked me out of the chat room earlier. I haven't logged in since.
I did. I must have been logged in. I didn't pay no attention. I went to get on the chat room. It said Barbecue Superstar, and I saw two of them. I was like, oh, I must be logged in. So I logged out and got back in on mine. So I ain't ever logged out of it.
So I was like, well, that's all right. Oh, Moody and them boys, they'll figure that out. From Donkeys, they're over there tonight. Of course, George's in there, so hell, they can fight amongst themselves. I can't type that damn fast anyway.
Yeah, I'm out of the chat room at the moment. I'm just on the phone, so I ain't really in the chat room. So I'm calling in.
You kind of fell off there for a while, and I was like, you know, and then Daryl came to me about it. Of course, I was under the influence when Daryl asked me about this stuff. Like, yeah, I was like,
you gotta be. You gotta be on the influence when you're on the radio show. Hell, I dropped moonshine. I probably made somebody $1 million just drinking moonshine. Every show. Hell, I'm drinking moonshine right now. I've already drunk half a pint.
When I saw Redneck Down, I'm like, oh hell, what I just do.
It's fun being on, but I mean, every week it kind of gets to you every week, you know. But, you know, it's fun while you're on.
Oh, no. No, like I said, I mean, hell, you had a hell of a show, and I enjoyed shit out of listening to you guys. I think I got on one
Yeah, we always trying to do something different, you know. You know, there's a lot of shows and not on Barbecue Superstar, but there's some out there that's not on Barbecue Superstars. It's just, and really, lately, I ain't even listened to any, but a lot of them just kind of go down the barbecue trail, and we just want to do something different to where it's kind of like being at a contest. When you've been at the contest, you know, there's always a bunch of guys sitting around. You're either drinking or, you know, having a good time while your meat's cooking and whatnot, and sitting around shooting the shit, and, you know, that's right, basically what we wanted the show to be like, and that's what pretty much what it turned out to be like, just a bunch of people at a barbecue contest hanging out, talking, and everybody else getting to listen. So everybody loved it, though. So
Yeah. Fun times, a good format right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, they had that and had the old Southern Truck Boys, old Andy and them, Randy. Hell,
yeah, it got us in trouble a few times.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that, though. But a couple times it got us in trouble.
That hawk worm, that's all right. I said, yeah, I think the best show you all ever had was not that one of them set the alarm off at the office.
Yeah, it was Randy. He was up at the office and set the alarm off at the office. And I was like, what is going on? I thought that they about went to jail. It was funny, though. Yeah, it was never. You know, they're supposed to have like a burlesque show coming out. I've got Southern Crump Barbecue Circus is supposed to be coming out sometime. They're trying to make like, I don't know, like an internet TV show or something, but they've been shooting different things for that. Yeah, burlesque.
Barbecue burlesque.
It's
crazy, man.
Yeah, Randy's a bit odd. He's different. He definitely is. That's what I like about him. He is different. He's himself. He don't care what nobody thinks. And, you know, he says what he wants to say, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, sometimes I would say some stuff that I would say, and he'd back off because he didn't even want to go there. But there'd be other times he'd talk about porn and strippers and everything else. But
so, they're going to have it at a different contest or and then shoot it live out of contest? Is that what the plan is or what?
I think they shot some stuff at a contest. They shot some stuff at a burlesque show. They did
that,
some kind of
sounds,
barbecue poetry.
Sounds,
and I don't know.
That's like our Houston rodeo party that we throw at Pitmaker here in the Houston rodeo. We have a lot of fun with our bartenders. We're awesome.
Well, and they're IBCA cooks, too, to top it off. You know?
Yeah, that's why I was saying. They're IBCA cooks.
You know, they were the ones that did the half chicken. They're the ones that premiered the half chicken on Pitmasters, what, three seasons ago? Is that right?
I think it was like two seasons. I think it was the one before this one, the one before the last season, where they did the states. I think it was before that one. But, yeah, they did the half chicken, like the IBCA. I ragged him every day for that. Every time I talk to him, I ragged him about it.
Yeah, I'm our nation looking at that like, what in the hell is that?
You know, to me, the half chicken is a better, truer test of the skill of the cooker. Right, Victor? You agree?
I agree. I know Victor will agree.
Victor,
you
there?
Victor? I hope we lose here.
Pete, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think we got Pete and George. I guess Victor went somewhere.
Probably all the talk of strippers. He probably said out.
He's like, oh, I'm going to get off here. Well, you know, that's why you got to bring Cody in the house every now and then. I mean, you know, he'll liven it up. He'll straighten it out. And
Victor's single, so he can do those things.
Yeah. So what do you got going on, Cody? Anything new?
Nothing really anything new. Just kind of going to open this place hopefully by the end of the year and kind of go out from about that. I shot some stuff for the news the other day and some newspapers and things like that. Just a little bit of media to deal with, so I'm fixing to start blowing it back up here pretty soon and start going back to contests and different things like that to try to get everything back out there the way to go. Because, you know, it's one thing people always say, well, when you're on the top, you're on the top. But when you're on the top, you got a lot of headache. And, you know, kind of dropped off everything for a while to be down below just kind of see how everybody else lives.
Yeah.
It's kind of relaxing that way, though. But like my woman says, I'm a media whore, so, you know, I like the media attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's kind of like in the chat room. Old Moody over here, he's starting shit now. So, said Randy Hill and Redhead Stripper Burlesque Show.
Oh, shit. Pitmaster started, didn't it?
Yeah, stripping with Randy.
Stripping with Randy?
Oh, no more chicken. It's stripping now. It's stripping with Randy.
I wonder where he's at. He might get on. You never know. He might call in. Let me send him a message. Let me see if I can tell him to call into the show. Let me see here.
What kind of cookers are you selling?
I sell Nolan's Custom Smokers. Everything's built in-house and CNC cutter. We build everything from scratch, basically like what y'all do.
Awesome. So he's been doing it for a while?
Yeah, he's been doing it for a while. A lot of what we sell is commercialized smokers.
Yeah, I've heard. You know what I've heard of Nolan? Are they rotisseries? I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, we do a lot of rotisseries. Mostly what we deal with is the commercial market. I'm kind of getting more into the barbecue circuit. We really don't have any like small cookers. Most of ours are bigger. I've cooked on a couple of his cookers. Everyone I've cooked on, I cooked on one that just got built. I told him, I said, I'm going to take it with me. And he said, I ain't done yet. And I said, well, I'm going to take it with me anyway. It was like a backyard model of a rotisserie, four rack rotisserie. And I took it and took a grand champion with it. And I cooked with another one. Everything I've ever cooked with his, I've done well and won with. So, you know, I'm happy with. I'm happy to have him as a sponsor and, you know, to be able to cook on his equipment. So, you know, I'm always happy to deal with that. When I always look at a barbecue smoker as a tool. It's really not anything that's really going to make you better. It's just always just a tool, something to make your product better if you use it right. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You can buy the best cooker in the world, but it's not going to make you a good cook.
As much as we want our customers to believe that. It helps you be more consistent. It helps you be more consistent.
It does make you more consistent. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, there's a ton of smokers on the market. And I imagine you look at them every day. I look at them every day, see who's competitive, who's not, and what's going on. And, you know, there's tons of things out there, but it's always the small little things of quality that makes the smoker different of how it's going to cook. You can build the same design.
And how it's going to last,
correct. And that's what makes the difference in a good smoker. A lot of people don't pay attention to the small things of what's going into it. It's kind of like when you prep your meat. A lot of people don't pay attention when they're prepping their meat. So when you get that finished product, it don't look as good as somebody else's because they didn't take the time to prepare the meat and do the small things to get the product to where it needs to be. And that's where it goes in cookers also. I mean, you build a hell of a cooker, so, I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And we got a hell of a finished product, too, on the competition.
Yes, sir.
I'm just talking smack now. It's all good.
I know it. Smack Talk 101.
This is like a typical cook-off talk, so that's what we're out here for, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm getting all this started.
Crank it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can get it going. So,
How long does the show typically last, Lance?
It's a two-hour show, too.
Oh,
kind of the same old sport, some more format. You know, hell, we all get done. We can quit early. Hell.
I can go ahead and tell y'all who won Barbecue Pitmasters. You want to know?
Uh-oh.
I'm just messing.
I just want to see our Diane Mountain Dew trailer on there.
You ain't watching TV?
No. I stepped away from the cloud. I wanted to be in a quiet room to give you all my attention.
That's why I am. I'm outside in the party room.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm outside. I'm out drinking beer on the cooker right now. So
nice.
I was down. My neighbors got a party going on down below, and they're playing volleyball and cooking tri-tips right now. Matter of fact, so
How they cooking that tri-tip?
We cook them hot and fast around here.
That's right. I'm fast.
They come out the same way.
Yeah. One of my buddies is actually from California, and he got a barbecue shop here. He got a little carryout deal, and he kind of introduced me to the tri-tip, you know, a few years back before it was even popular. And it's kind of funny watching it on shows now that, you know, there's so much spotlight that's been on tri-tips here lately, on Triple D, Pitmasters, and all kinds of shows. All of a sudden, you see everything about tri-tips. And you just kind of salt, pepper, garlic type deal, hot sass kind of deal like a steak, and it does pretty well. As a matter of fact, I've done it a couple times in open competitions, done well with it.
That's interesting.
So
I've tried some tri-tip that seems a little chewy to me sometimes, man. I don't know if I'm just the hot and fast grilling method, I'm not doing it right, or I'm tasting other stuff that's not being done right. But is it normally chewy?
Well, it is. I mean, because it is, you know, it's part of the sirloin. So, you know, it's a little tougher, you know, so you want to kind of cut it on a bias. And,
yeah,
you know,
I noticed that. They really kind of cut it really cross-grain, and that's pretty important.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, cut it a little thinner, cut it on a bias, and, you know, of course, you know, if you're in Texas, you know, if you're going to eat a good piece of meat, it's got to be medium rare.
Yeah.
That's right. Wipe its ass and put it on the grill.
That's right. If you cook it more than that, I mean, you're not screwed up. You know, so, you know, that's kind of how we do it around here. And like I said, I mean, he kind of taught me that. Like I said, he's from California. And matter of fact, he was over there last week, and he come back this week. He told me, he said, hell, he said, no one over there can even cook a damn good tri-tip anymore.
Yeah, well, so, I'll go ahead and say yes. I go ahead. I'm gonna make a joke. California barbecue is like paste picante sauce.
You're right about that.
If you seen it, if you seen the commercial, you know what I'm talking about.
You're damn right.
Don't throw a big miss to that.
Yeah, he probably won't.
I ain't got nothing against California people, but I like the joke. So hey.
Yeah, there you go. So, you talked about the Pitmaster. They also spill the beans, you know.
What do you want to know?
If it's only spilled, I just seen you spill it right here on this show right here.
Oh, this should be a hell of a show. We trash talk from the beginning to the end. You know, I don't know if we'll show everything. Danny Kugel, Pitbulls Up a Smoke, and Lynn from Sugar's Championship Barbecue.
Danny's a great guy.
I like Danny. We was talking crap at the very beginning of the show because Myron asked me. He said, you're young, and talking about Danny over there, and he said, what are y'all going to do? And I said, I'm about to send that cowboy hat back to the 1970s where it belongs. I don't know if there's show everything on there, but, I mean, it was a very exciting show. Even, I mean, everybody did from the beginning to the end. It was exciting, something going on all the time, but I don't know what they'll edit it into, so we'll see what they edit, so.
I look forward to seeing it. Of course, I probably won't see it until Monday night because we're gonna be down at the lake next weekend, so we don't get the destination channel down there, so I DVR it. So, you know, hell, if you want to call me next Sunday night and still arrest me, hell, you can do that too.
Yeah, I mean it's different. If you've never been to a contest and seen it, which imagine George did. He's seen everything that's going on. But when you're
I was involved in one, the precursor for that show, which was the Ultimate Barbecue Throwdown. If you ever go back there and catch that show. They kind of took the format from that show and turned it into, like, the third season of Pitmasters. And,
yeah, it's different taping. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, you think you just go in there and cook and they tape it and you're done. It really don't go. It was a very exhausting process. It really was.
Yep.
From sun up to sundown. Structured
and yep.
Fucking trash trucks and porta potty cleaners,
yep,
and breaking everything up where they had to go back and retake. And I mean, it was just a lot of stuff. But I mean, it was a fun experience. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. But
and they might catch,
I mean,
8 or 10 hours worth of footage and whittle it down to that, you know, 28
yeah, 45 minutes
or whatever
minutes
you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, 45 minutes you see on TV. It's not what you're going to think. And you know, they're not going to catch all the good stuff that's going to be in, that's going to take place either. There's just no way they can do it.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's why I'm wondering what they'll actually put in on the show. But, I mean, it was an exciting show. I figured it'd be one of probably the top shows that was there. But you never know what's going to happen. Hell, I could look like an idiot by the time it's done.
Well, you know, but that's what they're looking for. I mean, it's kind of like what you did through last year. You know, you had them on and did the interview and everything. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the comedy and the trash talking and guys be able to talk shit and you know, hold their own. It's kind of what I gave from, you know, what she said last year is that, you know, that's what they're looking at. They're looking for big personalities and, you know, get out there and have fun and kick some ass.
Yeah, that's what they are looking at. You know, there's a lot of great competitors in the barbecue world that will never be on the show. And me and Randy's always said this. every time we was on show and we brought Barbecue Pitmaster to come up, we always said the same thing. There's tons of barbecue cooks out there that are probably better than any of the ones that's been on the show, but barbecue people don't have any personalities. And that's the number one problem about being on TV. You got to have a personality. Not saying I can't cook, because I mean, everybody can cook.
They look for that in their little request for the footage being sent.
I had John Marcus on the show, and he gave a recorded interview I had with him that day about what they was looking for. In every video I watched, nobody's video had anything that we discussed that people that listened to the show still did their own thing. If you'll go back and watch my Pitmaster video that we did, that was what John Marcus looked for, an untaped cut, no pictures, no music, just an untaped raw cut, one form, one play, and let it play out however it goes. We didn't record anything. And actually, you know what the funny thing is, about before we even taped that, I done quit and was done with it. But my woman had come out there, and because it was getting late at night, it was dark. It wasn't even going to do it. It was sleeting. It was snowing. I told her, I said, I'm done. I'm not even messing with it. I said, screw it. And she said, no, you're doing it. I've been out here in a dress, out here in a freezing cold, and you're about to shoot this video. And I was like, all right. So I said, screw it. I said, let's just do it. And that's just how everything played out. We didn't rehearse nothing, didn't do nothing, and they called us.
They want your honest personality. They can see, you know, that's for sure.
And that's what that was that night. I mean, because I watched the video. It was an honest personality. Y'all had fun. And, I mean, it was just kind of off the fly. But you addressed the things that you needed to address, kind of what he talked about in the interview and stuff. And, I mean, that's what hit. I mean, that's how it goes.
When they shot the show, it was hard for me to even be myself. Because that's probably the hardest thing I found out about being on the show Barbecue Pitmasters. It was hard to be myself because they was telling you so much stuff, and you know, you had to, like, if you was prepping something, you had to tell them everything you was doing. Then you had to say, hey, I'm going to the grill. And then they'll go, okay, let me get my cameraman back here. And then before you open the door, you got to tell them, hey, I'm about to open the door. And then you put the meat on, and then you close the door, and then you got to tell them what you was doing, why you was doing. I mean, it was hard to find your personality of, you know, the person I am on the phone tonight. You know, it was hard to find that person that I normally just am, you know.
It gets
a little
unnatural, doesn't it, Cody?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was a little bit unnatural.
It's a little unnatural.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you're playing an actor. But, you know, by the time we got to the end of the show, I was just like, fuck it! And I said it on air, but I don't know if it'll make it. But, I cussed my brother on there, and then, you know, we went down that road, and I just, you know, it was exciting. It definitely was. So
yeah.
Let's see what all happens on it.
Me and Big Mister, we spilled the sauce that we had mixed up.
I spilled all kinds of shit. Spent all kinds of crap everywhere. I spilled all kinds
of
stuff.
They didn't catch when we actually went through the, you know, what the hell happened. They didn't catch it first. One of the camera guys wasn't there. They were like, okay, can you say that again? They brought the camera back, and then they wanted us to kind of act like we spilled it again, and that was very unnatural, you know. But we ended up going with it and getting it all on camera. It was looking somewhat, you know, natural, I guess.
Oh, it got real exciting at the end. Because, and I'll say this, and they ain't going to hit me on that because the show's about a week away. But at the very end, we was all about 1 second away from being disqualified. They said it's the closest that's ever happened where all three teams got disqualified from the whole contest. And
the
win was gone by
30.
Do what?
For the times? Because of the time?
Yeah, because of the times, because we almost, none of us almost got our food turned in. We was all like 1 second. We all turned in our food at the same time. I mean, it was, you know, that close. And the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour. That paper towel's blowing around all through the tent, stuff blowing off the towel. I mean, it was crazy. So I hope they get it. I know that I won't tell you the rest of it because they'll probably put that in the show. So
that's dramatic. Yeah, that's good. Usually – I think, you know, they always make it seem like a team turning in the last second. And I don't think that's always the case. But you watch every damn show, and it's like 3, 2, 1. They show someone walking up, you know, a cut scene of someone walking up, turning in. I don't think that's actually the case.
They was about to pass out because They when we all got our boxes closed and all the times went, you know, we was down like 1 second, all three teams, and they was about to pass out. I mean, they was like trying to, after we all got turned in, they was all catching their breath because it was like, y'all have no idea. Like, we almost didn't have no contestants for the rest of the show. So, you know.
That's good news. I mean, that's good. I think that they always shoot it like that. Like, you know, they always do the last 10-second countdown, and then they cut to a scene of somebody turning in. But it's not. It's good to know that, you know, y'all actually were right there, you know. It'd be fun to watch that.
Yeah, and the seconds before that, I mean, they'll probably show the seconds before everything happened in our tent because they was like, man, because one of the directors was like, did you get that? And he was like, yeah, I got that. So he's like, man, that's going to be, like, all over the show right there. And I was like, well, I see what happens. But, you know, that's why where the wind was blowing and crap like that. So you just have to sit back and watch that and see what happens. But it should be a very exciting show. You know, there was three great cooks on that show. You know,
my partner and I. Danny's great. My partner and I were on the that Kingsford Invitational shoot. The Kingsford Invitational contest came out this year.
Yeah,
you know, they had
that
one scene where the guy is running, sprinting across the field with his son. You know, and we thought he was going to trip and throw his tray of pork butt everywhere or whatever. But that was real. We all freaked out on that. I mean, he was dealing like 5 seconds. He starts from about 50 feet away from the table and sprints that 5 seconds and gets there on 0-2-1. I mean, right there. It was crazy, man. But that was real. And they actually caught that really good on that camera, too, because I was like, holy shit. You know, I've never seen, you know, you don't expect that either. And they kind of got the backstory behind that, why he was late, too. It's pretty awesome.
So, Cody, who were the judges? Can you tell us that?
Yeah, I'll tell you who judges were. Ours was Melissa Cookson, Myron, and Tuffy. It's who our judges were.
Okay. So this will be the first one with Cookson on it?
Yeah, first one with Cookson.
She won the Kingston Invitational contest I'm talking about.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
She kicked that ass.
You know,
that's what you're talking about now, yeah.
You know, and she's one of the top cooks in the country. And honestly, I'd probably say if you had to put Melissa Cookson and Myron up against each other, Melissa, whip his ass, and that's honest.
Yeah,
got your...
I think, you know, she's good, man. She's really good.
Yeah, she's good. I watched her down at Memphis in May. We cooked down at Memphis in May this year, and, you know, I think she took second in Whole Hog. And,
she's a very
dominant cook.
I've tasted both her foods, and I would agree with what I've tasted, what you're saying.
So, Cody, how far are you from the Royal?
I'm about 6 hours, I think, from the Royal. About 6 hours.
You need to come up and see me this year. We're going to go up there and we're going to cook. And, you know, we might have to do something kind of live up that way.
How far are you
from
the Royal? About the same, Lance?
Do it now?
How far are you from the Royal? About the same? About 6 hours?
Oh, shit, no. About 10, 11.
Oh, man, yeah. A little bit further east.
We're
further west,
well,
I'm sorry. A little bit further east from
here. Yeah, we're 70 miles from Amarillo, so, I mean, that'd be the closest to get to I-40. And then, you know, hell, you're going to go through Oklahoma and up. And on up. So, yeah, I mean, we're a good little ways. Probably about, you know, 800, 900 miles. But we're going to make the trip this year, and we're going to cook in the invitational part of it, and cook the open, too. But and so I guess that'll kind of be our next adventure this year. And, you know, so, yeah, it's a long damn ways for us. But
that's a little bit better than our 14, 15, so...
Yeah, but, you know, that's it. I mean, you know, we hit our Texas State Championship this year, out of 65 teams. So, you know, we got our invitation. And, you know, how can you not go up and cook?
It's an event to make for sure, man, especially if you got that invitation.
You know, win, lose,
we didn't
bust,
get an invitation last year, and we still went. We just cooked the open.
Well, there you go. And, I mean, hello, tough field. What, 515 teams?
Yeah, what's cool is that we helped our two customers that was their first time cooking the Royal on their invitational wins So that was a great experience, because we were, especially the fact that we didn't have an invitation, so me and Victor, we split up, we each went to do two different teams, and we were able to really help them out and kind of, you know, coax them along in that KCBS style, which they weren't used to. They're both here from Texas, Houston area. So that was nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a tough group up there last year, and, you know, I had a lot of buddies from Texas up there cooking last year, and as a matter of fact, probably one of the best cooks last year that we had in West Texas was Rock Bottom, Brendan Walker. I mean, he won 4 or 5 championships last year in Texas, and, you know, he went up there, and he cooked the Invitational, and he was like 150th out of 154 or something. He was pretty disappointed on the Invitational, and then he turned right around on the Open, he was like in the top, you know, 100 out of 500 teams. You know,
yeah, we,
so,
we did that our first year cooking the Royal. We kind of bombed on the Invitational side of it, and then we came back, and I want to say we got like 50-something or 60-something overall about 3 years ago. Yeah.
That's pretty
that first,
amazing.
I mean, if you're not used to KCBS, that little that Invitational works as like a heat, because you get your timing down, you know, how far you are from the turning tables, and a little bit, you know, getting more in your comfort zone after that first day of cooking, for sure.
Well, that's true, too. I thought that like that, but yeah, I can see that. And, you know, like I said, I mean, that's the whole reason we started cooking, you know, Kansas City, just so, you know, we kind of, you know, stay up on that end of it, and because it is, it's tough. I mean, you know, 30-minute turn-ins, and that end, it was a lot different than
that's, that's probably, you know, that and the garnish trays is the big hill to cross, man, from a Texas cooker standpoint. The person that's mostly used to competing in the IBCA Texas Gulf Coast is, you know, being, you know, he's normally 1 hour between turn-ins with three meat categories instead of four. So that's just a big crunch thing that, you know, it's a little hard to get over, man. With especially if you add the garnish to the whole mix, and you definitely, you know, here in Texas, a one-person team can do really well and not have the, you know, the time crunch to worry about things. So you're going up to KCBS, especially a big cook. I mean, you got to have minimum two people, better three people on your team to do well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because there's absolutely no damn way. I mean, and then, like I said, I mean, you know, as big as that field is, I mean, there's no way to do it. And
especially, you know, some of those spots in the Royal, you're 5-7 minutes from walking your turn in, you know, man. Such a big ass cookoff.
Something we learned this year was that, you know, we started doing our boxes the night before. And so we have all our boxes done, we have them in a cooler, kind of learned some tricks on that end of it where, you know, they look just like you'd done them when you open up the next day. And, you know, that saves a lot of time just right there having to deal with it. You know, because when we were in Austin last year with you guys, I mean, I was doing every damn box, you know, 5 minutes before I was doing the meat. And I was like,
yeah, that's rough, man. That's rough.
And, I mean,
rough.
You know.
I'll tell you another way to do some boxes that make it a whole lot easier that I found out is there's two ways you can do it. You can either kind of fill the bottom with that meat you're putting in, and then just kind of fill the edges, so that's all you can see of greenery. Takes away from the time I have to mess with it. You can do it the same time that you're putting your meat in the box, but it's just got to be rested up some. Or you can put parsley in the box and then do that, just like a little bed down there, or you can put a little bit of lettuce down there at the bottom and come back with parsley around the edges so it looks all pretty. But you don't have to use that much parsley, and don't take up that much time, because believe me, I used to spend hours on each box sitting there putting them in there. It don't fucking matter. Don't even worry about it.
Well,
yeah,
you know, that's it.
Yeah,
so,
I kind of learned that too. You know that. You know, I turn into a bonsai master twice a year for a little KCBS cooking.
No shit.
You're sitting there with tweezers and you're analyzing that shit. They come back, you know, 20 minutes later. Oh, you know, something's out of place. You're still tweaking, man. It gets pretty ridiculous, man.
Okay.
There's one thing I will say. When you turn in your box before you set it on that table, lift the lid and look at it, because 99% of teams don't do that, because between that walk up there and getting there, there might be sauce on the top of it, or there might be something that moved, and you can sit there and just give yourself like a minute before you get up there and make sure all the edges are wiped so you know you get a white box, so that way they'll be happy. And some judges don't, they're not supposed to take off for that, but some judges do, you know. In that world of field, they're kind of tiki-tailed on what they think what it should be instead of what it is. So, you know, that's just my opinion on it.
Makes sense.
No, no,
especially
a
long-ass walk with the
Royal.
Well,
yeah, get on the golf cart.
Right.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's just little things. I mean, little things like that will, you know, will nail you on it. And, I mean, can cost you, you know. When I first went into it, you know, I studied the taste and tenderness. I thought, you know, if I'm going to buy something, I'm not going to worry about the appearance so much. Well, that'll cost you a lot of damn money.
Yep.
The other thing
that's you should always have a guarantee on appearance. You should always have that guarantee, no matter what. Unless the judge thinks it's a little bit tough or a little bit too tender. Hell, I got scored off one time because the judge thought it was a little bit too tender. But all the rest of the judges thought it was fine. So, you know, you should always get the points that you can guarantee yourself to get, which is presentation. But there's always that one judge. I like to call him the fifth judge. He's always the number six judge because he likes to give you sixes no matter what. Everybody likes to give you nines. And then he's got a six somewhere. It comes out of nowhere. I don't know why.
That didn't get enough from his wife the night before.
I don't care to lose. You know, it don't bother me to lose. But I hate when I get 999-999-989-999-996. And I'm like, what the hell? Where did this six come from?
Or
699, you know. Yeah, I'm like, where did that come from? But anyway.
Yeah. But see, and that's it. I mean, you take your appearance, and that's something I learned this year. And, I mean, you know, it helped us greatly on that end of it. You know, and then like I said, we did kind of the greenleaf lettuce thing last year. We've done it parsley this year. But the other thing I've noticed about parsley, my biggest thing is that you can look at that box and it looks perfect. You can take it down
and then when you go back to look at it,
and it's like, son of a bitch, look at that. It's out of place. And it's like, oh, where did that come from? Because that damn thing looks perfect for a picture. And, you know, that is one of those things, too. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable how much you get tunnel vision on that end of it. You think, man, that's a damn good-looking box. Take a picture of it, and then you get home, and you look at it like, man, he turned in that shit. It's like, damn. And, I mean,
I look at a lot of pictures on the internet. Facebook's a lot of them. It's where everybody posts up pictures. What do you think? Or I've seen some that's got first place stuff, and I'm going, how in the hell did you get first place with that box? Looking like
absolutely.
That and the way the meat looks, how did you get first place and who the hell was there? And now I've seen some that have just looked beautiful in the box. Everything looks symmetrical and just glazed and nice, and they go, hey, I got a 7 on this. Why did I get 7? I'm going, I don't know why you got a 7 on that. So, you know.
That's exactly right.
That's just part of that world. That's just part of our world there, you know. I mean, a little subjectivity going on there with different judges. You can't just predict what judge is going to like what. And, you know, there's always going to be the odd apple, man.
Yeah, I used to go on contests going, man, I'm about to win this contest. We got the best food, the best box, and then look like you just got in a fight with the 35-year-old man. You got two black eyes when you get done, hanging your head, walking out the place, throwing shit in the trailer. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of my way. Let me out of this place. And going, you're going to get my eyes over because you're going, what the hell did we do wrong today? And then you can't figure it out. But then I've had times where after you get cooled off, I was at a contest, and we took first. They had like this sponsored event, like the first. They had like a sponsored event, had something. I don't remember what it was, and they gave you the stuff to cook. You turned it in, won that contest, first one out. And I was like, yeah, here we go. We're about to win the rest of this money. Let's go home. Come through chicken didn't hear a call. I was like, man, I know that chicken was perfect today. Didn't hear a call. Got the ribs.
Didn't hear a call, and I said, what the hell? I know these ribs were just awesome today. Pork butt, always scoring pork butt, no matter what. Didn't hear nothing in the pork butt, and I yell out, fuck it, I'm going home. And I walked away and left. We're going to get like Swiss and biscuits. Hell, didn't make me feel no better, though. Did not make me feel any better. We got fifth and brisket because what the thing was with the brisket, we knew our brisket wasn't no good. We knew our brisket was not, wasn't even in a competitive field. We knew that the other three categories were winning categories, and the brisket wasn't even going to place that day. We already knew it when we turned that box in, and they called out fifth place. Now I'm going, how the hell did I get fifth place when I know it wasn't even worth fifth place, and the rest of the stuff should be in the top five, didn't even get a call on.
Yeah, I've had that experience before. You know, you cook what you think is the best damn brisket you ever cooked in your life, and you know you're getting a call, you know, and then something that turned out crappy, in your opinion, gets a call. It's weird, man. It's really weird.
But, you know, and that, I mean, that is exactly right. I mean, because, you know, I've had that same experience. I mean, you know, the weekend I won Grand Champion out of 65 teams, I had tasted one of the guys next to me's chicken. And I was like, son of a bitch, that damn chicken's good. I mean, it's damn good chicken. And I was like, I had good chicken up until I tasted your marker. And I'm like, I'm screwed. And so, you know, they didn't call second place. It wasn't me. And I was like, damn, we're out. And then they call us, we hit first place. And I'm telling you, he was not the best damn chicken on the place that day.
Let me tell you a quick story. We was at a contest, and one of my buddies with me, he got a big mouth. And it always seems like whoever's next to us either wins or does really well for some reason. So I started going contest, and I'm like, hey, y'all going to win today? Or y'all going to do well today? Because, you know, it seemed like everybody who was sitting right next to us always did really well. I don't know why. But we was at this contest. We're cooking. I got everything looks good, you know, doing well. This is one of our earlier contests. And there's people next to us. They're partying all night long. I'm talking all night long. They all pass out. Their fire goes out on their smoker. They're out till like 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning. They're out. Not even up. One of them jumps up. They're so drunk, they don't even know where they're at pretty much. He's got this torch over there blowing smoke and fire in this, look like a chimney style smoker. Something's homemade, I don't know. It had leaks all over it, and they blowing fire where it's going up on the food, the ashes. I'll tell you another one after this one. But, you know, blowing everything on, he's got this pellet smoker over there. He's got a tray on, it's got grease in it, he's frying chicken up on it. Pretty much. He's smoking it, but the grill's like 600 degrees, so it's frying grease. Frying everything, my buddy's talking shit. Ah, we're about to kick your ass today. Y'all don't know nothing, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I was like, dude, quit talking trash. Just quit talking trash. So he's talking trash the whole time. Award ceremony comes around. I don't remember what all they got placed, but I do remember one call they got. First place chicken goes to so-and-so with a perfect 180, and I'm like, how the hell did that even happen? Got first place in chicken with a perfect 180. Then we was at another contest. A guy was cooking chicken on I can't remember what kind of grill or smoker it was. It's one of the big square ones. It's got the grates. We put the ashes below it. A Taylor or something. I can't remember what the name of it is. But he's over there. He's pretty drunk, too, from what it looks like in the morning time. He's kind of stumbling around and stuff. He pulls his chicken off the top grate, dumps it in the ashes, falls off in the fire. My brother runs over with heat-proof gloves, gives them to him. He pulls his chicken out. He turns it in. He gets second place at that contest. I said, I know what I'm doing at this contest. I'm throwing my chicken in the fire, being done with it, drop it down to ashes. So, I mean, I don't know. You just...
Yeah. I had that here in Plainview, in my hometown. I had a guy, we were up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He got his brisket, he's got a Weber, and, I mean, he's got a fire going. I mean, they fire going. He takes his 14-pound brisket and just throws it in the fire. And, I mean, flames are shooting up all over it, and he leaves it there for about 5, 6, 7 minutes and flips it over, and he does it again, and I'm sitting there going, what in the hell is he doing? Sure enough, there you go. He got like first or second place in that damn brisket, and I'm like, oh,
I've seen that before. I've seen someone, you know, caramelize that bitch just like a steak and then turn around and smoke it. They do well with it, you know. I've seen it.
That's why. Like, damn. You know, but, I mean, that's it.
Weird
I mean,
to see.
You go through those things and you think, how in the hell are they going to do it? I mean, I've had guys take chicken in IBCA, take them up to 180, 185 degrees, burnt, black looking, looks like.
Should be dried out.
Someone stick dynamite in their ass and blow them up. And, you know, they'll come over and they'll look at your chicken like, damn, that's a good looking chicken. You know, you'd be pretty proud of it. Like, yeah, this is a damn good looking chicken, especially compared to your ass. And then, hell, they'll kick your ass in it. You're like, how the hell did that work? You know? Okay. So,
then,
you know,
you have some weird
yeah.
stuff. You have some weird stuff, KCBS, too, man. I mean,
That's what'll piss you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've got the one. I didn't go to contest. I don't even worry about winning money. I look to win one category to win my money back.
Yeah. You know, a lot of my customers, they'll come in, you know, being really serious, and I'm like, if you're going to get into competing, you need to do it to have fun first. You're using it as an excuse to get together with your friends and your family, have a good time, and if you walk, it's just icing on the cake. I mean, don't go in there expecting to try and win something regularly.
Yeah, you're going to make a living doing it.
Exactly, you know.
Unless you're, Myron or Trigg or, you know, something like that. But, I mean, you know, hell, even them guys probably didn't make a living at it. You know, the money that you see if they've won, there's no telling how much damn money they put in it to win what they've got.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It all gets reinvested into equipment, into travel expenses, into, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Well, and that's kind of like us this year. You know, like I said, we won that grand championship. You know, he paid $1,300, $1,400. And then, you know, next week I was going to Vegas, you know, to cook over there,
yep.
You know. And
yep.
We were pulling a 15-foot trailer at 11 miles a gallon. It didn't take long to eat up that profit.
Yep.
But, damn. So, you know, and I think, you know, we got like a pork place and pork butt. And I think it paid $150. Like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was good and all, but it wasn't that good. So, anyways, well, hell, it's been a good damn show.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Well, no going away yet.
We got about
18 minutes.
18 minutes.
So
anybody out there got any damn questions?
Do what?
Moonshine. Hold on. He said moonshine. Let's talk about moonshine.
Let's talk moonshine here. Let's talk moonshine.
Well, I've actually been saying I got about two swallows left in this pint. And this was actually special made by a guy that he cooked with us down there at Memphis in May. And we actually made a batch on site. He brought the roll. And brought it fans. It's a white peach grape, and it's the best shit I ever had. I've been saving this for a special occasion, so I guess it's a special occasion. But it's
good.
about 100 proof mixed in, so it's pretty good. Smooth. It don't have an aftertaste, don't have a forward taste on it, just like you taste drinking white grape juice. So it's a great
really?
Taste. Yeah.
Well, you know, Texas has a thing going on where we're at, and I'm sure you probably had it.
The 180 proof whiskey. Yeah, is it the 180 proof whiskey they've been mixing with apple juice? There's a lot of people.
Well,
it's like a new trend out. They're taking like a Everclear and mixing it with apple juice, which that's
yeah.
not moonshine. That's just mixed liquor.
Yeah.
And then I said I got another buddy, and he's got the real stuff there. I mean, that shit will take your breath away. You feel it all
yeah,
the way
he had
down.
He had the raw. It was about 180 proof. And it smelled just like a white alcohol. I wouldn't drink it, but I watched a couple guys that was pretty lit take a drink of it and light their mouth on fire.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, I said we had some of that earlier this year, and I mean, you drank it, and I mean, it's like, I mean, you took a little sip of it at a time because it damn sure would hurt you.
Yeah, I've almost finished this whole pine off, so it's some smooth. It's real smooth, but it's 100 proof, but it's real smooth. But I've had some to where you just sip it like a good whiskey, but
This ain't. Wish I had some more of it. This is my last pint.
Sounds good. Send me one of those there, Cody. Well, I gotta head on out, guys. Again, it's nice having, appreciate y'all having us on the show.
Nice talking to you, George.
Question. I'm gonna head on out.
Sir,
I didn't
you.
Think
thank
this would go a full 2 hours. Been a little bit 30 minutes over my budget here.
Oh,
but
well,
again, appreciate it, man. It's great. I had a lot of fun. Love to do it again.
All right, thanks, George.
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you out there in the circuit.
Okay, thank you.
We'll do that. That Huntsville thing coming up, Lance.
I said, I believe it's the end of February is when we're going to do that.
Texas, man.
Texas. I don't know if I come to Texas or not. I don't know. Me and Hank's looking for a contest to go to, roll with each other. He's got two new knees, so we're going to go out and hit the barbecue trail together and see
what
happens.
That's
you
one
never
of
know,
the
we
rare
might...
KCBS ones, so come on down.
You never know. We might hit
come.
Texas up.
Hey.
So.
I think it's the end of February is when it is.
Nice and cool.
26, 27. I know they posted it on some of our websites, stuff like that the other day. So, yeah, I'm kind of hoping to come down there and maybe we'll come do. We might do some stuff on Friday night, stuff like that. Have a good time.
Sounds good, Lance. You guys have a good night, man. Y'all take care.
All right. Thanks, George.
All right. You're welcome. Bye bye.
Yeah, you need to kind of come to Texas, Cody.
I like to come to Texas. I ain't had to find the time to go. That's a long haul down there.
Well, you know, there's one in Bedford, which is right around the Dallas area. That might be one of the closest ones for you.
Where's it at?
Around Dallas.
Around Dallas?
Yes, sir. Probably about a couple hours from south of Oklahoma City.
Too many tornadoes down that area.
Well, that's why you keep going south, man. You got to go south a little further. This is like in... I think it's like Labor Day weekend, so you're pretty safe that time of year. You know.
Yeah, I'm about 2 hours from Memphis, about an hour from Jonesboro, Arkansas, Mississippi. You know, it's not much farther than Memphis, so around that area, feel.
Okay, so you're kind of in the
I'm on the right side of the state.
Yeah. So,
on the borderline.
Yeah, all I've done is kind of on the west side of y'all state. And you know, we've been up around Branson and Springfield and up in there. And,
right.
You know, so St. Louis, I've been through St. Louis a few times back in my old traveling days and stuff, but I've never cooked over that way. But, no, because hey, you're not too far from Chadwick either.
No, I'm about an hour and a half from Chadwick. I cooked that contest with him not too long ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, y'all did. So.
It wasn't too bad. Pretty good payout. They're supposed to have another one over there. It's like $5,000 payout. But, I mean,
maybe
it's not a sanctioned event, but it's only like a $50 entry fee, so you can't really.
Right.
The odds, you know.
Well, I mean, hell, those are nice when you can get them. We don't get any of that around here. I mean, I think I've cooked one contest.
Y'all got,
shared it.
Y'all got about 10 competitions going on each weekend, don't you, down there? Seems like there's a contest every weekend, 3 or 4 going on.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, we're kind of, well, I say we're kind of dead. I'm cooking next weekend, and then I'm going to be off for a couple weeks, and then we'll cook the end of July, and then kind of hit August. We'll have 2 or 3 in August, and September's shaping up to be about 3, and then, of course, we'll go to the Royal the first part of October, and we'll probably have 2 or 3 more in October. And,
you never know. Me and old Hank might stroll up there to the Royal. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's see what he's got going on. But he's wanting to get out of Mississippi and go do some contests, so see what happens there.
Well, I said, hell, nothing else. You guys come out and hang out with us. You might show us Texas cooks how to cook a little bit.
I don't know about that, but, you know. I give you something good to eat anyway.
Hey, there you go, man. There you go. Well, you're welcome to my camp anytime. So.
Anybody in the chat room?
I don't know. I haven't even looked. I've been kind of walking around shit. Call in.
Yeah. Hang out with us. Got 10 minutes left on air.
Yeah, we might get old Jason Adam to call in. And now let's get old Moody. Why don't you call in, buddy? So I haven't been able to talk on the damn chat room because for some reason it locked me out of it. I can see it, but I can't talk.
Hmm.
I don't know what.
What if I kicked you off? You been back on since I kicked you off?
No, I think you screwed me on that deal. It shows that I'm logged in under West Texas Pitmasters, but I can't get into it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I saw it earlier. That's why I was wondering.
So, yeah, maybe we can get old Jason to call in. He's one of my sponsors. And old Moody, old Tortoise Q. We might get him to call in tonight. Except they're listening. Let me get back over here to the board and kind of refresh it again. Well, do you miss not doing it at all, or?
No, not really. I get to spend more time with my lady and get other things done. And, you know, I enjoy being on, but it's just so much time consuming, 2 hours being on every Sunday and trying to take care of everything. It's just kind of lined up everything for the show, getting everybody lined up through the week and finding people and making things interesting.
Yeah. That's exactly it. I mean, you're exactly right about that. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that I've been lining up been, you know, a few weeks out, you know, trying to get it done. And, you know, it kind of, you know, you sit there kind of on a cliffhanger. And, you know, you hope like hell, like, okay, you know, I'm going to post this. I hope to hell you guys show up. And, you made that comment earlier. It's like, well, I don't see anybody on there. It's like, well, I want to make damn sure everybody's showing up first before I say anything. And, you know, it's been good. We've had a good time doing it, and I've enjoyed it. It is a lot of damn work, and, you know, hell, I mean, you know, you don't know what to expect sometimes, and, I mean, you know, I guess that's part of the excitement of it. But,
yeah, every once in a while you'll have two or three lined up for a couple weeks, and then you kind of hit a dry spot, and people will get in touch with you the week afterwards, and... But, I mean, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean,
Daryl's got 4 shows now on Barbecue Superstars, which I ain't talked to Daryl, so, but anyway.
Well, and you know, and that's it. I mean, you know, even on my end of it, I mean, since I started doing this, I mean, we've chatted a couple times on Facebook, and that's it. I mean, you know, him and I hadn't talked on the phone or anything. You know,
yeah, I think he's on to the live feed stuff now, to where he's shooting live video and doing cooks and different things. I've watched a few of them, of him doing them and whatnot.
Yeah, watching him with my rub burn a bunch of shit up on the grill.
Yeah,
so.
Which I got some of your rub. I've cooked with some of your rub. So
what do you think?
It's a good product. It really is. It's a good product.
No.
From a Texas
sugar test,
I'm just messing. I'm just messing with you. They got a lot of brown sugar in it.
Yeah, it sure does got a lot of brown sugar in it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it did.
Yeah.
We won't give anything else away though. Y'all just have to buy it to find out what it is. But it's a good product, it really is.
Well, thanks, man.
You use that just on your ribs, or do you use it on the other things?
No, I pretty much. I mean, I've had a lot of people using it on brisket and on pork butts. It does well too. But
right, I figured it was more of a pork seasoning than a brisket seasoning, is what I felt
about
it. Well,
you know, where that kind of comes from on the other side of it is that you know, people like Lockhart, you know, does a sugar cookie type of brisket.
Mm-hmm.
It works pretty well for some. Like a sugar cookie type brisket. You'll do real well doing that. And it's not a bad flavor profile. But, you know, in competition, you know, we're a lot different than that. And so, you know, I never have competed with it on that end of it. You know, on the other end of it is too, is that, you know, this year, you know, one of my big sponsors is Oak Ridge Barbecue. You know, it's all
I'll do some of their products. They got good products.
They did have good products. And so, you know, I've been using a lot of Mike's stuff, and we've done well with it. I said I've had top 10 calls in Port this year using his product. And, I mean, so, you know, I can't bitch about that. So,
hint, you might get to see me cook some beef on Barbecue Pitmasters.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go.
So,
you know, that's it. He's got a good product out there. And, I mean, you know, he's another Missouri boy. And, you know, hell. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's so many products about there. Hell, I like to try this on your damn salt.
I seen you some. I just have to make it up and be kind of lazy. I ain't even got any made. That's bad, ain't it?
Well, I know I'm saying, Mike, because, you know, I have one sauce that I use on a few of my different products. And, you know, and then, of course, Jason Adams, Sage Cheese Barbecue, he's in the chat room. I use some of his barbecue sauce on some of my stuff. He's got damn good barbecue sauce. He's up in Illinois. And, you know, good
right.
shit. But, you know how it is. I mean, you know, there's lots of good stuff out there. And, you know, if you're real competitive, you know, you find little things and you tweak them. And you know, that's how you stay competitive. And, you know, so like I said, I mean, I have one sauce that I make for my own stuff. And then, you know, I use some of his stuff. And you know, of course, then the other part of it is I use a lot of rib candy.
Oh yeah, you lose a lot of rib candy, huh? Rib candy's a good product. You know, it's like the, you know, if you find something working in your area, stick with it. But you know, when you go to other areas, you might have changed up just a bit. That's what people don't understand. They always say I use the same thing over and over. But you know, I use my product that on certain things, and on other things I use a different product. But you know, for the customers that I serve, you know, they just rave about it, how great it is. But sometimes you don't get them raised from the KCBS judges, so you have to, you know, change it up just a bit to get a different approval. So, you know, but like
well,
on the show, on the Pitmaster show, you know, we used all of our products, and then, you know, so.
Well, and that's the deal. I mean, it's like when I went out to Vegas, you know, I cooked, you know, pretty much like I cooked here in Texas, but, you know, I never cooked that far west.
Right.
And all the judges come out of the Pacific Northwest, from what we can tell, and I'm afraid all the Texas guys, we burned them up. Had a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, a little bit too much heat. And you know, that's why
like
it goes back to the Pitmaster show. You'll find something that is continuous in all three Pitmasters on the show. Dave and Myron said while we was there, and he said it on the show, so it probably made the show. That the consistency of what all we cooked all pretty much had the same flavor profile that was different than what was the trend, what was the past trend. I just won't give that away. But
sure.
If you don't say it, you can call me and I'll tell you what it was. But, you know, the trend's always been sweet. So you just take it from there and everybody kind of followed the same trend on all the products we cooked. And, you know, and that's like when we talk about going Barbecue Pitmasters, you know, that's what we're known for is cooking, you know, with our products, our sauces, our seasonings. And, you know, when we went, that's all we took. We didn't take anything else. We wanted to cook with our products. That's who we are. And, you know, if it was good enough to win, it was good enough to win. If it was bad enough to lose, it was just wasn't going to win. But, you know, you got one shot to do something. So we decided to do what we was going to do. And you watch the show and see what happens. And then you can call me if you got any questions.
I'll do it, man. I'll do it. Well, hey, man, we're fixing to run out of time. I appreciate you coming on. You know, you're welcome to come on anytime. If you want to co-host with me sometime, just holler, bud.
All right.
And,
all right. Sounds good.
And we'll do it. And hell, we'll have a good time doing it. So you want to throw anything out there to any of your sponsors, anything like that, go right ahead.
Oh, sure. You can find Lulu's on Twitter, Facebook, or you can like our new page, Lulu's Barbecue World Famous Barbecue Destination Location page. It's all on our website of www.lulusbarbecue.com. It's barbecue. And you can find my sponsor, Nolan's Custom Smokers, on there. He builds one of the top commercial smokers in the U.S., guaranteed. So, you know, shout out to him. It's great to have a sponsor that, you know, makes a great product, takes a lot of pride in what they do, you know, kind of like what Pitmaker does. You know, maybe we'll get off in the competition trail a little bit, been kind of
running some drawings on that, but right now we're kind of in the commercial world. So got prices that can't be beat and quality that can't be beat also on guaranteed, which we had a guy down there in Memphis in May. He took, I think, 27th in the shoulder division down there off one of our cookers. So it just shows you they're there to compete, which, you know, George heard of us. So it's a great product. Look it up, and you can call me, and I'll talk to you about it. But that's about it, brother.
We'll do it, man. We'll do it. And I'm West Texas Pitmasters. You can find us on Facebook or on Twitter also. And, Tony, I enjoyed it. Thanks, Pitmaster, for coming on tonight. George and Victor, you guys, Pete, anytime, you guys welcome. So, hey, man, we'll talk to you later, bud.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much, bud. Later.
All right. Hey, see you. Bye.